It's a great occasion for us today to be able to offer this book of Tamalakrishna Maharaj, A Living Theology of Krishna Bhakti, to Srila Prabhupada. Actually, Tamalakrishna Maharaj wanted to establish Srila Prabhupada's greatness in the academic world. And that was his endeavor, and that was his contribution. Tamalakrishna Maharaj was a very, very special personality who assisted Srila Prabhupada from the very beginning in an amazing way. Just one meeting, just one encounter with Srila Prabhupada, and he left everything and joined Srila Prabhupada, offered himself at his lotus feet. And from then onwards, he was always in the forefront of Krishna consciousness movement, assisting Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada also recognized his greatness, recognized his ability. And whenever there was some important mission, Prabhupada always called Tamalakrishna Maharaj and gave him the assignment. And from the very beginning we could see, like, Tamalakrishna Maharaj had a very special relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Those who had been in close proximity could see what a very, very special relationship they had, Prabhupada and Tamalakrishna Maharaj. When Krishna consciousness movement was flourishing in the West Coast, Prabhupada made Tamalakrishna Maharaj the leader there. He was the president of Los Angeles Temple. Then Prabhupada wanted the book distribution to be properly established, and he assigned Tamalakrishna Maharaj with the responsibility. I don't know whether it will be proper to say he assigned the Tamalakrishna Maharaj with the responsibility, or Tamalakrishna Maharaj took up the responsibility. Like, he was always seeing, or he was always searching for different ways and means to promote Srila Prabhupada's mission, Krishna consciousness movement. And then when Krishna consciousness movement started to flourish in London, George Harrison became inspired by Srila Prabhupada, and Krishna consciousness movement started to embark on another dimension. Then Prabhupada called Tamalakrishna Maharaj to London, and he wanted him to establish the book distribution here. Then France, Germany, wherever Krishna consciousness movement was getting some recognition and expanding, Srila Prabhupada sent Tamalakrishna Maharaj himself, or Tamalakrishna Maharaj went out of his way to do it for himself. Then Krishna consciousness movement started to develop in India. Prabhupada called Tamalakrishna Maharaj to India. Prabhupada wanted the land in Mayapur, but there was a lot of obstacles. For some reason, some individuals didn't want Prabhupada to have a piece of land in Mayapur, the holy dham of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Tamalakrishna Maharaj went and made it happen. Practically at that time it was an impossible thing to achieve, getting a piece of land in Mayapur. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki. Then when Srila Prabhupada became quite weak, his health condition deteriorated in India, and in 1977 Tamalkrishna Maharaj dropped all his managerial responsibilities and he went to India to be with Srila Prabhupada. And usually different GBCs used to become Prabhupada's secretary for a period of time, maybe 3 months, 4 months. Sometimes even 2 months. But Tamalkrishna Maharaj went and just took over, decided to take up the responsibility of being Srila Prabhupada's secretary in 1977, dropping all his responsibilities as a GBC, and other, mainly as GBC responsibilities, because the BBT responsibilities he could execute even from a distance. But the GBC responsibility, he had to do it personally, being present there. And I remember he told me that how he wanted to serve Srila Prabhupada, and therefore he just relinquished all his managerial responsibilities. He had quite a big zone those days and quite a flourishing zone, but he handed them over to different other GBC members. And he came to India, came to Mayapur, and took up the charge of Srila Prabhupada's responsibility. And at that time, actually, I had the good fortune of meeting Srila Tamalkrishna Maharaj. At that time, I also had the chance to serve Srila Prabhupada. I came quite late to Krishna consciousness. I joined in 1976. And when I joined, Srila Prabhupada was in America. Then Srila Prabhupada went back to India towards the end of the year. And then I met Srila Prabhupada in Kumbh Mela. And although Srila Prabhupada was in Kumbh Mela at that time in 77, early 77, January 77. But it was difficult to approach Srila Prabhupada. Although Prabhupada was there, but I could not approach him. Nobody could approach him. Prabhupada those days was surrounded by hundreds of devotees. Prabhupada had about 10,000 disciples, 10,000 followers, about 6,000 initiated disciples, and another 3,000-4,000 waiting. So that was the situation at that time. But I had the good fortune of traveling with Srila Prabhupada when he was going to Calcutta from Vrindavan, from Allahabad, Kumbh Mela. That was also another very merciful arrangement of one of my senior godbrother, Bhavananda Maharaj. He was the person in charge of Mayapur at that time. And Prabhupada changed his plan. Prabhupada was supposed to be in Kumbh Mela for till the end of Kumbh Mela practically. But all of a sudden one morning we got to know that Prabhupada decided to leave Allahabad and go to Calcutta. We got the news and we felt that, well, that's what Prabhupada wanted. And after a little while Bhavananda Maharaj came to me. He was a sannyasi at that time. So he came and told me that Prabhupada is leaving Kumbh Mela. I said, yes, I heard. Then he said he'll be traveling with a small group of devotees by train. And then he added that you have been included in that team. I practically jumped with joy. And those days in Kumbh Mela there were about 400-500 devotees and just about 14 devotees were traveling with Srila Prabhupada. It was a very special opportunity. The train started at night. The next morning I was chanting in my compartment. Actually, one entire carriage, first class carriage, was hooked onto a Calcutta bound train. And that carriage was for Srila Prabhupada. And there were only 14 devotees traveling. And anyway, so the train started at night, and soon after that we took rest. In the morning, after taking my bath, I was chanting. So Bhavananda Maharaj came and told me, come, I'll take you to Srila Prabhupada. All this while I was dying to meet Srila Prabhupada. But now when the opportunity came to meet Srila Prabhupada, I felt, I don't know, some feeling that I felt that I was not prepared to go near Srila Prabhupada. Because, anyway, some feeling, and probably Bhavananda could understand that. So he grabbed me by my hand and dragged me through the corridor and opened the door to Srila Prabhupada's compartment and pushed me in. And I fell flat on the ground, offering obeisances. When I got up, I just saw that Prabhupada was looking at me. And then Prabhupada motioned and said that, sit down. So Prabhupada wanted me to sit next to him. In the first class compartment has got two rows of seats facing each other. In the other one there was Bhavananda Maharaj, Jayapataka Maharaj and Rameshwar Maharaj. And the temple president of Calcutta was sitting on the floor and Prabhupada was sitting on the other one, and Prabhupada asked me to sit there. So at first I said, Prabhupada, I'll just sit on the floor. Prabhupada said, no, you sit here. So when Prabhupada insisted, I just folded up the blanket that was spread over the seat and just sat on the corner. And then Prabhupada asked me, after some initial exchanges, Srila Prabhupada just told me, you translate my books into Bengali. I expressed my ability, I questioned my ability. Srila Prabhupada said, doesn't matter, just try it, just do it. And he said, practice makes a man perfect. But later on I realized this Prabhupada's mercy that makes one achieve whatever little perfection he does achieve. So this is how I had the good fortune of being close to Srila Prabhupada, because although those days it was very difficult to go near Srila Prabhupada, very difficult to have any access to Srila Prabhupada, because it's understandable, there were so many devotees and everyone actually wanted to be with him. So his intimate associates, servants, used to kind of guard Srila Prabhupada in a very strict way. And then Prabhupada, so now I have the access to Srila Prabhupada anytime I wanted to go to him, because I had the excuse, I have to show these translations to Srila Prabhupada. And then eventually Srila Prabhupada went back to Mayapur. And that is the time Tamal Krishna Maharaj actually joined Srila Prabhupada. He took over. It was Rameshwar Maharaj who was Prabhupada's secretary at that time. Then Brahmananda Maharaj for a while became Prabhupada's secretary. And then when Tamal Krishna Maharaj came, he became Prabhupada's secretary. And it was at around that time that Prabhupada one day called me and gave me a stack of Bengali letters and asked me to reply them. The way Prabhupada wanted me to reply them was, Prabhupada used to ask, I used to read out the letter to Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada used to give the points to answer. And then I used to formulate the letter and then read out the draft to Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada used to make some corrections. And then I used to make the final letter, handwritten, on Prabhupada's letterhead. And I used to bring those letters to Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada used to sign them. So when I finished the Bengali stack of letters, Prabhupada gave me a stack of Hindi letters. Before that he asked me whether I could write in Hindi. I said, yes, Prabhupada, I can write in Hindi, but my handwriting is not so nice. Prabhupada said, nobody's Hindi handwriting is nice. And then Prabhupada told me a joke. He said, once somebody received a letter from his friend. So he wrote back to his friend, next time you write to me, please send me the train fare to go to you. So the friend wrote back, why do you want the train fare to when I write to you? He said, to figure out what you wrote, I have to go back to you. So that kind of gave me some sort of reassurance that, well, maybe I can write in Hindi. And so I started to reply the letters in Hindi. In the same way, Prabhupada used to give the points and I used to formulate the structure. And then Prabhupada used to sign. So then one day Prabhupada called me. At that time Tamal Krishna Maharaj was already serving as Prabhupada's secretary. And then Prabhupada called me and told me that he was appointing me as his secretary for Indian affairs. And then he called Tamal Krishna Maharaj and told him that this is the assignment he was giving me. And then he suggested that I move into the room where Tamal Krishna Maharaj was staying, his secretary's room. So that gave me a good fortune of being very, very close to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. We practically were together and living in the same room. Wherever Srila Prabhupada went, we traveled with him and we were sharing the same room. That became a kind of a practice. And that was an inconceivable good fortune to come so close to such a wonderful personality. And he was exceptionally brilliant, exceptionally intelligent, and exceptionally capable. Like, I haven't seen anyone like him. And he had such a deep love and concern for Srila Prabhupada. It's a pity that many people couldn't understand him and rather misunderstood him quite grossly. Anyway, that is their business. But I can say that I had the good fortune of coming very, very close to this great personality. And I consider myself to be very, very fortunate to have this opportunity. I noticed after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, not immediately after a few years, especially in around 83, he was always looking for something to do. He was not content, he was not satisfied with his just regular chores of responsibilities. Like he... Once, it was I think in 1983, we were there in Gita Nagari for Ratha Yatra. And so I was asked to give the class on the day, Bhagavatam class on the day of the Ratha Yatra. So I just told about Jagannath's appearance and Jagannath's identity, especially from three different sources. One was Kanda Puran, one was Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the other was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's narration about Lord Jagannath's appearance that he gave in a radio program during the Ratha Yatra time in Calcutta. And I had the good fortune of hearing about that from one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, Srila Sridhar Maharaj. So anyway, I just narrated Jagannath's pastimes in that way. Tamakrishna Maharaj was not in the class that day. And when we were taking breakfast after the class, Satsurup Maharaj told Tamakrishna Maharaj, "You don't know what you missed today." And then he started to tell him about the class I gave. And Tamakrishna Maharaj said that soon after, you know, after say about 3 or 4 weeks after that, they were going to have a Ratha Yatra in his farm in Tennessee. And he said, "I have to go and tell the story for him." And so anyway, I had to comply. And those days I was not that busy, so I could. So I went and gave the class on Jagannath's appearance. So that day when we were taking lunch, Tamakrishna Maharaj was telling me that for some time he had been thinking of writing a play, but he was considering what would be the theme. And so then he told me that he found the theme this morning. The theme is going to be Jagannath's appearance. And that is how actually he embarked on this Jagannath Priya Natakam. And he was extremely thorough. Whatever he did, he would do it with such intensity and sincerity. Like, before embarking on this project of writing the play, Tamakrishna Maharaj decided to study the art of writing drama based on Natya Shastra and Rupa Goswami's narration. Rupa Goswami's Natya Shastra. Actually, original Natya Shastra was a Sanskrit. It was by, I forgot the name, but Rupa Goswami also wrote a book on Natya Shastra, meaning the science of writing drama or art of writing drama. And he actually assigned somebody to translate that book by Rupa Goswami into English. He searched around. He couldn't find any English translation of Natya Shastra. Then through one of his disciples in somewhere in either Delhi or Benares, he got somebody to translate that book for him. So before embarking on that, he studied Natya Shastra thoroughly. And then he gave me one assignment to translate Lalita Madhava by Rupa Goswami. And that was quite an assignment. After Mayapur festival, those days we used to go to Rishikesh, where Prabhupada also went before going to Vrindavan. From Bombay, Prabhupada went to Rishikesh, and a small group, Tamakrishna Maharaj, myself, Upendra Prabhu, Pradumna Prabhu, a few of us just accompanied Srila Prabhupada to Rishikesh. And the house we used to stay, Tamakrishna Maharaj used to make arrangements that we would stay in the same house. The house actually belonged to one of the relatives of Birla's called Ganga Darshan. Beautiful house on the Ganges. So we used to stay there. But then Tamakrishna Maharaj, we are supposed to stay there for 7 days, and he gave me the Lalita Madhav, and he said that you translate it within 7 days. That means I didn't have any vacation, no excursion. to Rishikesh, but now I am assigned, given this assignment, within the short span of 7 days, I have to translate Lalita Madhava Prabhu Swami. Anyway, I enjoyed it, because whatever he did, although he himself was a very intense personality, and he also made everyone equally intense, whoever was around him. And fortunately, I could translate the book in 7 days' time in dictation, in dictaphone. Couldn't handwrite so quickly. So I translated the book in dictaphone and got it transcribed. And so based on those books, on the basis of Natyashastra, on the basis of Rupa Goswami's Lalita Madhava, and all the narrations from Skanda Puran and Chaitanya Charitamrita, he actually wrote this book, Jagannath Priya Natakam, a brilliant piece of writing. And this way he always had to have some special thing to do. He was always so intensely involved. He always wanted to have something. And I started to notice that in 1998 he was feeling quite restless, because he was feeling that he doesn't have enough to do. And it was at that time that Hridayananda Maharaj actually gave him the idea to go back to the university. And initially he had his doubts whether it was really necessary. But finally Hridayananda Maharaj did convince him, and he went. And he did his studies, graduate, he did his bachelor. And one thing I remember, I forgot the name of his teacher at the time in the university, in what is called Christian, anyway, it was Southern Methodist University in Dallas. I had the good fortune of meeting his professor. What's his name? Dr. Cleaver. Oh, Dr. Cleaver, right. Yeah, that's right. Dr. Cleaver. Yeah. So, a very wonderful personality. And he told me that in his 36 or 37 years of teaching career, he considered Tamalkrishna Maharaj was his most brilliant student. And he had an extreme appreciation for Tamalkrishna Maharaj. And then, as you all know, Tamalkrishna Maharaj, after completing his graduation, he came to do his master's in Cambridge. Oh no, he did his master's in Southern Methodist, and he came here to do his PhD in Cambridge. Extremely involved in that, and the work that he did resulted into this book. The last chapter he could not complete, so that was done. Although the paperwork was done, but the final presentation was made by Garuda Prabhu, another very scholarly devotee, a god brother of ours. And we can see that his whole purpose was to establish Srila Prabhupada's position in this world. A living theology of Krishna Bhakti, essential teachings of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The purpose of this work actually was that the academic world doesn't want to accept anybody unless they have their stamp on him. And Tamalkrishna Maharaj felt that it was necessary that Prabhupada's identity, Prabhupada's greatness is established in that academic world. And I'm sure it's a brilliant piece of work, undoubtedly. I didn't have the chance to read it earlier. Today is the first time I'm just seeing the book. It was launched about a month ago in Texas. And please read it, and you will see another display of his brilliance. His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande. So, today I'm supposed to give a class on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The car phone. Is it recording or? Okay, so put it on top. Yeah. Or put it here if you want. His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. He tests his own sweetness through the various emotions of a devotee. I have formally explained this. Explain this conclusion. So please repeat after me. He tests his own sweetness through the various emotions of a devotee. I have formally explained this conclusion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya, who is known as Sri Gaurhari, is complete in relishing all the different mellows, namely neutrality, servitorship, fraternity, parental affection, and conjugal love. By accepting the ecstasy of different grades of devotees, he is complete in relishing all the mellows of these relationships. Bhakta bhav ongi kori hoilai abutirna Shri Krishna Chaitanya rupe sarva bhave purna Nana bhakta bhave karen samadhurya pan Purve koriyachi ei siddhanta byakhan. Therefore Lord Chaitanya accepted the position of a devotee and descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya, who is complete in every respect. He tastes his own sweetness through the various emotions of a devotee. I have formally explained this conclusion. So, these two verses are explaining about the internal reason of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. There are two reasons for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Why Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? There are two reasons. One is external and the other is internal. The internal reason has been explained here. What was the internal reason? He's saying swa madhurjo pan, his own sweetness. In order to drink, or in order to appreciate, in order to relish his own sweetness. Swa madhurja. Swa means his own. Madhurja means sweetness. And pan means to drink, to relish. So what is that has been very beautifully explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That Krishna considered what is there in him that attracts Srimati Radharani in this way. How great is Radharani's love for him? And by loving him, what kind of joy Srimati Radharani experiences? Sri Radhaya Pranayo Mahima Kidrisha. Pranayo Mahima, the Pranayo means love and Mahima means greatness, the glory. He wanted to understand. Sri Radhaya Pranayo Mahima Kidrisha. Kidrisha means what kind of? How is the greatness of Radharani's love for him? Banai Bashadya Jenadbhuta Madhurima Kidrisha Ba Modiyo. What kind of sweetness is there in me that attracts Srimati Radharani towards me in this way? And Shokhan Chasya Mad Anubhavato Kidrisha. Mad Anubhavato, feeling me, experiencing me, loving me, what kind of joy does she derive? What kind of happiness she derives? Sukha means happiness or joy. Shokhan Chasya Mad Anubhavato Kidrisha Beti Lobhad. A very special word has been used here, lobhad. Lobh means greed. Krishna became greedy to understand these three things. Therefore, tad bhavardho samajane shochi garbho sindho horindu. Just as moon appeared from the ocean, due to the churning of the milk ocean, moon appeared. Similarly, from the ocean of Sachimata's womb, Krishna appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sochi Garbha Sindho Harindu. So this was the reason why Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The question here arises that what is unknown to Krishna? Krishna is all cognizant, therefore why does Krishna have to wonder about the greatness of Radharani's love and the depth of Radharani's enjoyment of loving him, and what kind of attraction is there in him that Radharani becomes attracted towards him. Yeah, that is one consideration, that's true, like Krishna is all cognizant, Krishna knows. But this is something, in order to properly understand that, Krishna had to become Radharani. And that's the thing, like, unless and until he stood on Radharani's shoes, so to say, he could not properly appreciate that or not relish that, understand that. Therefore, Krishna assumed the mood of Srimati Radharani, played the role of Srimati Radharani, became Radharani. And that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which has been described here. Atoeb bhakti bhav bhakto bhav ongikar kori. Accepting the mood of a devotee. Which devotee? The devotee Radharani, the greatest of all devotees. That's why Krishna assumed that role or appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna playing the role of Radharani. Krishna has become Radharani. Krishna has become a devotee. Krishna has become Radharani. And in this way he is appreciating, he is recognizing the greatness of Radharani's love for Krishna. Sri Radhaya Pranayo Mahima Kidrisha. Banai Vashraddha Janadbhuta Madhurima Kidrishava Modiya. What kind of sweetness is there in me that she is so attractive and he is experiencing it? What kind of sweetness is in Krishna that she is attracted to? Krishna himself is playing that role in order to understand that. And Shokhan Chasya Madhanu Bhavata, loving me, what kind of joy does she experience? So he is experiencing that joy by playing the role of Srimati Radharani. So in simple words, Radharani, Krishna became Radharani. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hmm. Now, like one question comes here. Then, okay, Krishna assumed the role of Srimati Radharani. But then again, Radharani came as Gadadhar Pandit. So answer to that question is, when Krishna decided to play the role of Srimati Radharani, Radharani considered, let me see how he plays that role. And that's why he came as Gadadhar Pandit, constantly watching him. Gadadhar Pandit was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's constant companion. And in this way she is watching and appreciating. Well done, Krishna. So this is the internal reason of Krishna's appearance. So since we have started to discuss this topic, let us also consider the external reason of Krishna's appearance as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yesterday in the program at Dhirubhai's house, I briefly discussed that point. How many of you are present in that program last night? Okay, anyway, so I'll just... do you all mind if I repeat it again? Okay. Actually, we came... Gaudi Prabhu actually wanted me to speak on the special reason of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance and Mahaprabhu's special gift. So in that respect, we are just considering the external reason that has been discussed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita is actually discussing and describing that after performing his pastimes, Vrindavan pastimes, Krishna considered that I revealed my Vrindavan pastimes, but how will anybody ever enter into these pastimes? The reason is, generally, Krishna himself is considering this actually, that generally a devotee serves Krishna following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. The devotional service rendered following the rules and regulations of the scriptures is called Vaidhi Bhakti. And what is the destination of Vaidhi Bhakti? What's the goal of Vaidhi Bhakti? When one achieves perfection? Vaikuntha. By following Vaidhi Bhakti, when one achieves his perfection, he is elevated to Vaikuntha. But Krishna now revealed his Vrindavan pastimes, which is beyond Vaikuntha. So Krishna considered that how will anybody ever enter into Vrindavan pastimes? The reason is, what's the difference between Vaikuntha and Vrindavan? Vaikuntha is awe and reverence. Very good. Aisharja par bhakti, opulence, grandeur. Awe, which is mixed with awe and reverence. Awe and reverence in the sense, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that awareness is there, Krishna is God. So when that awareness is there, what would be the natural attitude towards him? Awe and reverence. Oh my Lord, you are so great. And I am your eternal servant. Please allow me to serve you. That's the mood. The Lord in the in awe and reverence. But Vrindavan, what is the predominating mood of Vrindavan? Awe and reverence is called Aisharja, which means opulence. And Vrindavan mood is Madhurja. Madhurja means sweetness. Sweetness due to love. Love is sweet. And in love, there is no awe and reverence. That awe and reverence creates a distance. But love is intimacy, closeness. So there is no room for awe and reverence in that loving relationship. And these loving relationships are threefold. Love, loving relationship. What are the loving relationship? Actually, all relationships are based on love. But Vaikuntha mood is the way a servant loves the master, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord and Master. So the servant naturally serves him in the mood of awe and reverence, respect, love in servitorship. But there is another kind of love, love between friends. Even deeper than that is love, loving relationship between parents and children. Like it can be analyzed in this way. You think of favorable relationships, loving relationship. Yes, servant has some sort of love for the master. But even more intimate than that relationship is the relationship between friends. You have a servant at home, so you have a relationship with the servant. There is some loving exchange. But deeper love is there in friendship. And even deeper than friendship is the loving relationship between parents and children. And even deeper relationship is the relationship between husband and wife, or lover and beloved. So gradually, that is the highest form of relationship. Loving relationship. Krishna considered that Vrindavan, where this loving relationship in friendship, parental and conjugal are displayed, how will anybody ever enter in there? Because generally a devotee will serve Krishna in awe and reverence. And by serving him in awe and reverence, when they achieve perfection, they'll go to Vaikuntha. And scripture says that devotional service must be executed, must be rendered following the instructions of the scripture. Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra Bidhing Bina, Oikantiki Harer Bhaktir Utpato Iva Kalpati. Oikantiki Harer Bhakti, intense loving, in intense devotion can simply create disturbance if they are not executed following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. So in one hand there is a instruction that a devotional service must be rendered following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. But by following Vaidhi Bhakti one cannot achieve Vrindavan. They'll get stuck in Vaikuntha. Therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita is explaining, therefore Krishna appeared as a devotee. See, the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be served following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. The goal is Vaikuntha. But when the devotee Supreme Personality of Godhead is served following the Vaidhi Bhakti, then he will go to Vrindavan. Now this also has another consideration. There are two types of bhakti. Devotional service, following the rules and regulations, which is known as Vaidhi Bhakti. And another one is devotional service rendered following the mood of some resident of Vrindavan. That is called Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga. Rag means attachment. Rag means love. And the residents of Vrindavan have an intense relationship with Krishna based simply on pure love. Just love and love for Krishna. And there is no other consideration. Therefore those devotees are called Ragatmika Bhaktas. Rag Atmika. Their whole existence, their whole mood is love for Krishna. Now when one renders devotional service following these Ragatmika Bhaktas of Vrindavan, then that devotion is called Raganuga Bhakti. Anuga means to follow. rag anuga. So that is the way to enter into Vrindavan. So now you consider Krishna came following. Krishna came as a devotee. Which devotee? Radharani. Now just consider the devotees of Vrindavan are Ragatmika Bhaktas. Now who is the best of the Ragatmika Bhaktas? Srimati Radharani. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is playing the role of Srimati Radharani. So when you are following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are you following? So then you see how Vaidhi Bhakti is automatically being transformed into Raganuga Bhakti. So that is the way to enter into Vrindavan, and that is why Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please take this note very carefully. Please take this consideration very carefully. Because sometimes there are some misconceptions I find floating around that, oh, you have to follow Raganuga Bhakti. ISKCON is following Vaidhi Bhakti. But in order to enter into Vrindavan, you have to follow Raganuga Bhakti. And come, I'll give you Raganuga Bhakti. Swami Maharaj didn't give you Raganuga Bhakti. I'll give you Raganuga Bhakti. But we can see what a misconception. And we can see, just try to follow this instruction from the scripture. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Bidhing Bina Oikantiki Harir Bhaktir Utpatoiva Kalpate. Utpatoiva Kalpate. This so-called devotional service, no matter how intense and how sincere it may appear to be, if they are not following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, they are simply going to create a disturbance in the society. And we can see what a disturbance is creating in the society. So many people are becoming bewildered and becoming confused in their spiritual practices. But on the other hand, when we go through the scriptures, then we can see that Prabhupada gave everything in the most perfect way. Follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We do not have to follow some gopi, imagine some gopi and imagine our identity in relation with that gopi and so forth, artificially. Just follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and everything will be clear. Because here we can see, follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following Vaidhi Bhakti. Right? And what is the Vaidhi Bhakti? What is the Bidhi? What's the scriptural injunctions, rules and regulations of the scriptures? How Krishna should be worshipped as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Who knows? How many of you know? Please raise your hand. What is the way? What is the scriptural injunctions of serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Scriptural injunctions mean bidhi, vaidhi, bhakti. Jaggai sankirtana prayoi jajanti hi sumedhasaha. The way to serve this devotee Krishna is through sankirtan. Jaggai sankirtana prayoi jajanti hi sumedhasaha. So just serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Sankirtan. That is the way to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And through serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Sankirtan, when we achieve perfection, what will happen? What happened to Ramananda Roy when he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? They had an extensive discussion. And eventually what happened? Rasaraj Mahabhav Dui Akrup. Rasaraj Krishna and Mahabhav Swarupini Radha Thakurani. He is seeing Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Radha and Krishna. So when you see Radha and Krishna, then where are you? You are in Vrindavan. So serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Sankirtan and you will see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Radha Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will manifest himself as Radha Krishna. And that is how we'll have access to Vrindavan. And in this way, Vaidhi Bhakti will naturally transform into Raganuga Bhakti. Yes, in order to enter into Vrindavan, we must develop Raganuga Bhakti. But this is how it will develop naturally. There is no need to artificially imagining something and then end up losing your spiritual life. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question?